Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I welcome you to the show. The name of this series is called Born to Win, and Jesus in the Gospels gives us a winning strategy, and I want to share that with you. This comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven, because he makes his sun rise on the evil as well as the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Rather, you must therefore be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. I remember I had a Bible. My parents had a Bible, a family Bible growing up. And whenever you go to the Gospels, wherever Jesus spoke, it was in red letters. And I noticed there was a lot of red letters. And so that tells me that Jesus' teaching is throughout the Bible. And Jesus was a great teacher. There are chapters and chapters of Jesus' strategy about life. And his teaching is beautiful. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark especially, he was called teacher, Rabboni, rabbi, teacher. And that was one of the main ministries of Jesus beside healing. He was a teacher. I came to the scriptures actually when I was a young man. And I opened it up, and I read this reading from Matthew 5. And here I am, I'm about 13 years old, and it was up on my bureau, and I found it. And I just wanted to read, so I read, and it said, you shall love your neighbor. You've heard that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, and then be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. I remember I put the Bible down, and I said, I'm 13 years old. I said, even if Jesus is true, how can I love my enemies and be perfect as God is perfect? And I thought to myself, I can never do this. It's too hard. And you know, my instinct was correct. Jesus' teachings are radical and profound and difficult and hard to live. None of us can do these teachings. None of us can live these perfectly. But we can only do it by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Years later, as a Catholic priest and a religious, I'm still trying to live the teachings of Jesus. He talks about things like, don't be angry, don't look at another person with lust, don't call anybody a fool, turn the other cheek, do to others as they would do to you. And I've realized that this is hard. And the only way I can attempt to do this is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not perfect, but I'm striving. That's what Paul the Apostle says. I haven't arrived, but I press on toward the goal. And that's what we got to do with the teachings of Jesus. Just because they're hard and challenging, we can't discount them and say, that's it, that can't be done. We got to keep trying. Jesus gives us a strategy about how to be a winner in life. And remember, you are born to win, not to lose, not to be defeated, not to be trodden upon. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You are born to win, and Jesus wants us to win. So, I heard about this bishop who wrote an article about the hard teachings of Jesus. Actually, I read the article, and the bishop said, what about the hard teachings of Jesus? Just because they're hard, just because they're difficult, does that mean that we neglect them and just kind of push them aside? He said, no. They're just as important as all the other teachings. We need to take a good, hard look at them and try our best to follow them. And Jesus was a radical teacher. He upset people, upset the people of his day because of his teaching, and he upsets us too. And many people see his teachings and they say, I can't follow it, and they just kind of push it aside. I heard about a pastor in a church, and the reading that Sunday was, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He had a rich parish, a very wealthy parish. The pastor actually took the gospel for that Sunday, that hard gospel, and replaced it with an easier gospel. And he told the visiting priest, he said, this gospel isn't for my people. Oh. And that's what a lot of people do with the gospel that are hard. They push them aside and they say, that's for everybody else, but not for me. I can't possibly do it, so why even try? And as I said, we have to take the whole teaching of Jesus. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. And I believe that Jesus gave us these teachings because he believed in our goodness when he said, turn the other cheek and love your enemies and be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He saw our potential and taught these things because he believed in the potential of each human being to be good and to rise above their circumstances and to meet their challenges and to do the difficult things that he called us to. Remember years ago, there was a shooting. 2006, a gunman burst into the Amish community and shot these five little girls in a schoolhouse. Well, the Amish are very passive, peace-loving people, and they actually forgave that man, went to his funeral, and prayed for his relatives. And what a beautiful witness that was to the wider Christian community all around the world. And I think that's what Jesus means. He sees the good in us, the potential in us to love even our enemies and to reach out, to turn the other cheek, to pray for our persecutors. And we all know how hard that is. And he brings out the best in us. Remember, Jesus gives us a winning strategy. We are born to win. So I remember when I went into preaching class, they always told us that there's going to be difficult gospels. And every gospel, our teacher said, has a challenge, but it also has a comfort. And when we preach, we should try to bring out the challenge to people, but we should also try to bring out the comfort. And so when we look at the whole of Jesus' preaching, there is a challenge, but there's also a comfort. And I'm struck by Jesus' strategy toward life itself. For example, I think about the peace that Jesus has. Remember, there was that big storm on the Sea of Galilee that time, and Jesus stood up and he cast his peace right into the storm. And all of a sudden, there was a great calm. That tells me that whenever we have storms in life, Jesus comes maybe not to calm the storm, but to calm us. Somebody gave me a lithograph one time, and it said, it's not the storm outside of you that Jesus wants to calm. It's the storm inside of you. And maybe you're going through a storm right now. Jesus' teaching, his teachings can help you to be victorious. You are born to win, not to be defeated by any storm that you have in your life. And then he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I love peace. I have gone to the Grand Canyon. I love standing by the ocean. I love it at night when I look up at the stars. There's such a peace in creation. If you read his teachings, you will receive that peace. Just spend a little time. He said, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Take it one day at a time. Sometimes in ministry, I've got all these things coming up one day after another, and I want to feel overwhelmed by it all. And then I hear that teaching of Jesus, Cedric, take it one day at a time. Easy does it. I remember the song by the Eagles. It was called Take It Easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. And that's so powerful. The teachings of Jesus gives us a great strategy. Strategy for living, not being all bent out of shape, enjoying your life. He said, I'm praying that my joy will be in you. And we can actually find joy in our life and enjoy our daily life because of him and to have a new peace. I wasn't always a peaceful person, but as I follow the teachings, as I read the teachings, yes, there's a challenge and they are hard. But yes, there is a comfort. Easy does it. Maybe that's a word for you today. Easy does it. Take it easy. Take it one day at a time. Don't get all bent out of shape. And I had this read at my profession as a passionist. Consider the lilies of the field, your Father clothes them. Consider the birds of the air, your Father feeds them. So, in other words, trust God in your life. He's going to take care of you. No matter what you're going through, submit your life to God. Trust in him. Cast your cares on God because God cares for you. So Jesus' teachings are challenging, but Jesus' teachings are comforting. And we must know that. The pages of the Bible are full of his teachings, and they're so profound and so beautiful. Now, with some of the challenging teachings, as I said, people want to pick and choose. They just want the good stuff, and they don't want to follow the hard stuff. And that's what happened one time in Capernaum, where Jesus taught about how he is the bread of life. And many disciples didn't want to be with him anymore, and they were going away. And Jesus said to Peter and the other apostles, do you want to go away also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. Oh, that is so true. Jesus has the words of everlasting life. This isn't just some teacher or some prophet or some Buddha. This is the Son of God giving us the words, a winning strategy, eternal life, how we can be victorious on life now, in life now. That's why we need to spend a little time with the Gospels and let them soak our hearts. So I know that some of these teachings are really hard and I don't feel like it or don't want to do them, but Jesus has the words of everlasting life. And that's exactly why at every Mass, every Catholic Mass, we always proclaim the Gospel. It's not just philosophy or novels or other people's thinking. It's the Gospel. And we kiss the book and we say praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the Gospel, the good news that brings us life. And he's talking about real life examples, like a son that goes away and the mercy of the Father to receive him back. He's telling us in the story of the Good Samaritan how we ought to be merciful toward people, even over religious ritual. So these stories are so profound. Stories, I learned early on in my preaching that if you want to engage people, you got to tell them stories, because otherwise they've all heard the pietistic platitudes and they start yawning and go to sleep on you. So stories are where it's at. Then what about the story of the Last Judgment in Matthew? It's unparalleled. And it's a story telling us that one day we are all going to stand before God. And now is the time that we got to make good. Now is the time that we reach out to people. And when we reach out to people, when we try to make a difference, we are actually reaching out to Jesus. These are profound stories, life-changing stories, a winning strategy. As I said, we were born to win. So as we follow these, we can expect eternal life. He told stories to farmers. He's told stories to fishermen. He told stories to religious people. He told stories to businessmen. And he spoke in their own language. For example, one of my favorite stories in the Gospels, he talked about a person who's walking and he finds a treasure buried in a field. Isn't that what we're all looking for, a treasure? And he says that person goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Or he said, the kingdom of God is like a merchant. And aren't we all merchants seeking the one great purchase that will make us happy? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And then one day he finds the one pearl of great value. And he goes and he sells all the other pearls and he buys that pearl. And of course, when Jesus was teaching about the pearls, when he was teaching about the treasure, he was talking about himself. Now, no other teacher has ever done this. When Buddha teaches or Muhammad teaches or any other teachers, rabbis teach, they teach about what others have said and the wisdom that they've garnered from life. But Jesus was centering his teaching on himself. This is something unparalleled in antiquity. Nobody ever taught about themselves. And I thought about how one time I saw this person on a beach, and they had what's called a treasure finder, and they were out there looking for treasure, and they have a little shovel that they dig with to try to, you know, when you go over the metal, it makes a noise, and you try to dig. See, that's the way we all are. We're all searching. We're all looking. And Jesus says that I am the pearl of great value. I am the treasure that you're looking for. No one has ever taught like that. In fact, remember that one time Jesus was in the temple teaching, and the religious leaders wanted to capture him, so they sent the temple guards to go get him and to bring him back. And the temple guards went, and Jesus was preaching. Then they came back empty-handed. And they said, well, where is he? And the temple guards said simply this, no one has ever taught like this man. Wow. They went to arrest Jesus, and Jesus arrested them by his words. That's so beautiful. And that's exactly the way that Jesus was. His teaching was so profound. And as I said, his teaching wasn't just about history or antiquity. He created this teaching, these stories, these parables. And as I said, his teaching centered on himself. Especially in the Gospel of John, he made exclusive claims such as, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have never heard teaching like this from anybody who ever lived. Think about that. That word I am, ego, eimi in the Greek, means it's the same word actually that God spoke to Moses. Moses said, who may I say is sending me? To the Hebrew people and to Pharaoh. And God said, I am. So when Jesus said, I am, first of all, he was saying that he was divine. But then he was making these exclusive claims that, again, are unparalleled in the history of humanity. He was saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. Wow. No one has ever spoken like that. And so think about what you're going through right now. Jesus is saying, I am your help. I am your strength. I am love. I am life. I am your health. I am your happiness. I am your peace. I am whatever you need. This opens my heart in a way that nothing ever has. I've studied philosophy. I've read Plato, Aristotle, Pythagoras, all these great philosophers. I've looked at Muhammad and Buddha and their teachings because I want to be ecumenical and I want to learn what others have said. I've read history books about different people and what they've had to say. Sometimes we take this for granted, what Jesus has said here, but I have never read anything like the teachings of Jesus. I told you that this series is called Born to Win. God didn't give you life so that you would be a loser and die and just go away. God created you to win, to live, to have eternal life in heaven. And he gave us his only begotten Son, certainly on the cross, the wisdom of the cross, but the wisdom of Jesus of Nazareth and the teachings that he gave us that are so profound and so unparalleled. It is something that you have to discover on your own. I invite you to spend a little time with the scriptures just on your own. You can understand it. Millions of people have. And the wisdom that it will bring your life. And really what happens is the scriptures are like a fragrance, like a scent, a smell of Jesus of Nazareth himself. Goes down through the 2,000 years, unmediated, comes right to us. You can sense the person of Jesus in his teachings. This is how you get to know Jesus in a personal way. I want to talk for a minute about the Sermon on the Mount. If you remember, in the Gospel of Matthew, Luke has the Sermon on the Plain, but Matthew has the Sermon on the Mount. Very similar words. They each theologically use them for their own purposes. But if you remember way back in the Old Testament, Moses was the great teacher, and he was given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. So Matthew is a Jewish gospel written mostly to Jewish Christians, to a Jewish crowd. So they would be very familiar with, every time you talk about mountain, they'd be very familiar with that coming back, the memory of Moses. Jesus is portrayed as a teacher, certainly in the Gospel of Matthew, but as the new Moses. So what does he do? He goes up on the mountain and gives the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I've been to Galilee. It's not really a mountain. It's more like a little hill right by the Sea of Galilee. It is the most charming, beautiful scene, the turquoise waters of the Sea of Galilee. Here's Jesus sitting above the people. Thousands of people were gathered before him, and he's proclaiming, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for you will see God. Blessed are you when you're persecuted on account of the Son of Man, for your reward will be great in heaven." So in other words, he is speaking to people, to all people. You don't have to be rich to be a follower of Jesus. Blessed, in fact, Luke was the one who said, "Blessed are you poor." He changes poor in spirit to poor monetarily. So Jesus' teachings aren't exclusive, they're inclusive for all people. Well, I watched the movie Jesus of Nazareth years ago, and Jesus was portrayed by Robert Powell. It was Franco Zeffirelli's movie, Jesus of Nazareth. Very powerful movie, very profound movie. And they did the Sermon on the Mount. They had the scene of the Sermon on the Mount, and there's Robert Powell, very handsome Jesus, proclaiming, "Blessed are you who mourn, you know, God will comfort you," and all the eight Beatitudes. And by the way, at the Church of the Beatitudes there on the Mount of Beatitudes, there's a beautiful church, octangular. There's eight sides to it, and it has a beatitude on each side. Well, anyway, Robert Powell was there, and he said that when he actually, they filmed that scene, and he was proclaiming the Beatitudes, he said the 1,000 people that they had in front of them for the movie began to weep. And they began to weep because of the profundity. Even though it was a movie set and they were all actors, the power of Jesus' words, the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain. As I said, no one has ever taught like this. But what grips me the most are Jesus' call teachings. And I love all of his teachings, but it's his call stories. And if you remember, he came up to Matthew. Here's this charismatic Jesus, and he said, "Come follow me." Matthew left everything and went and followed him. Came up to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, said, "Follow me." They left everything, boats, nets, parents, and followed Jesus. See, the charismatic healer, teacher that Jesus was so dynamic and so powerful. And what I love about the teachings of Jesus is this call story wasn't just for them, just for the apostles, it's for us too. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest." Wow, it's transcending time right now. That call story is coming to you. And so as Pope Francis said in one of his apostolic exhortations, The Joy of the Gospel, he said, "I invite everybody, whether you go to church or not, to a renewed personal relationship with Jesus Christ." And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to give through his teachings. Yes, he's trying to give us a strategy for life. Yes, he's trying to make us winners in life. But more than everything and more than anything, Jesus is calling us to a personal relationship with Him, and this is what revolutionized my life. That's why I love the Gospels. It's an exclusive claim that nobody has ever made. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you abundant life. Living waters will flow within you. Now, I'm inviting you to give your heart to Jesus once again, to surrender to Him, to come to Him. Come to Him by reading His Word. And especially those of you who have tuned into the program that aren't going to church, those of you who maybe don't know who Jesus is, find out for yourself. That's what I did, and wow, did it change my life. It'll change your life too, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Again, He is the truth, and His teachings will make you more than a conqueror. You weren't born to lose, you were born to win. And the teachings of Jesus are a winning strategy. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please